chestnuts roasting on an open fire, Jack Frost nipping at your nose, Yuletide carols being sung by choir, and folks dressed up like Eskimos.
Good morning, afternoon, evening, and night. This is Neil Coulong with Behind the Steel Curtain, and I am joined by Lance Williams, the host of Steel Curtain Radio. You are listening to The Standard is the Standard, our Steelers pregame podcast. Recording this early Thursday evening, and I guess Thursday afternoon for where Lance is, before the Steelers will travel to Green Bay, Wisconsin to take on the Super Bowl 45 champion Packers. As much as we hate to say that and don't even like to think about that game, in fact, that might be the last we mention it. I don't know, Lance. I don't know if we should even bring it up, but we remember that game well. We got beat by a very good football team and a very good quarterback. And that quarterback leads off the big talker of this show, Green Bay quarterback Aaron Rodgers. His status for the game as of the time of recording is unknown, but Lance and I both agree that the likelihood of Rodgers playing in this game is outstanding. And the fact that the Packers are playing it close to their vest is very much to be expected. Coach Mike McCarthy has said today, Thursday, that Rodgers practiced again today with the first team, and he thinks he looks very good. He has not yet received full clearance from doctors in order to play in this game, but that seems more like a formality than anything else. In other words, Aaron Rodgers, for the first time in 7 weeks, will be back on the field for the Packers. Lance, how big of a problem is that?
Well, if anyone remembers the last time the Steelers played against Aaron Rodgers when he came to Heinz Field, and I believe, if I'm remembering correctly, he may have been somewhere like 11 of 17 on third down for about, 225. You know, if you remember that game, and that's also the Ben Roethlisberger game where I believe he threw the 5 touchdowns, the last play of the game to Mike Wallace to win that game, Aaron Rodgers absolutely diced up the Steelers in Heinz Field. So anytime A-Rod is playing, it changes the total look of the game. If Matt Flynn is playing, Steelers have a very good chance. A-Rod playing, and given the fact that the Steelers don't necessarily get a ton of pressure, this might be the perfect game for him to come back. They're playing for something. It's on the road. I think it's a very tough spot for the Steelers.
Yeah, looking at it, it's definitely a tale of two quarterbacks, and while you do have to factor in an offense that ran wild all over the basically defenseless Dallas Cowboys the previous week with Matt Flynn under center, in my opinion, the MVP of the NFL is Aaron Rodgers unless they give it to somebody else. And I say that just because I don't think there is a quarterback in the game, player in the game, who dictates as much as he does. If Rodgers is on, if Rodgers has what he likes in front of him, Rodgers is going to succeed. That's been basically true over the last four seasons in the NFL. And we're looking right now at a quarterback that he's on pace to not just, break passing records, but shatter them. You know, people don't seem to realize that. You look at the upper echelon of quarterbacks today, your older guys, obviously your Peyton Manning, your Tom Brady, your Drew Brees, these are very high level quarterbacks. They're getting older. Rodgers is only like 28 and he hit his prime a couple of years ago. The things that they're doing in Green Bay are just otherworldly. And that is absolutely going to cause a problem for the Steelers exactly the way that it has the last two times they've played Rodgers. Super Bowl 45, as well as that thrilling 2009 game in which it literally came down to which team had the ball last. I believe there were 1,000 total yards accumulated between the two teams in a 37-36 Steelers win. As it is, week 16 at Lambeau this time, a game, Lance, that I'm actually going to be at, and I'm currently breaking in my deep winter gear right now. I got a new pair of boots. I got my down jacket here. I've got gloves. I've got the Steelers skull cap. I'm still probably going to freeze my ass off, but this is Lambeau Field. late in the season. There aren't a whole lot of people that can say they were in this environment. And it's a late afternoon game, too. Keep that in mind. They were in this environment, and they actually survived. I'm not even sure if I'm going to, but I'm excited. I'm not going to lie to you.
The elements, I think, are going to impact them. But I will say this, the way the offense is structured, I think they still can move the ball in any type of elements. Ben can cut the wind, but I don't think you're going to see them try to stretch the field. You're going to see what we've seen, I think, in the past few weeks. Yards after the catch, get it out real quick, and a steady diet of Le'Veon, particularly out of the backfield in one-on-one matchups against linebackers. And I think that game plan can travel. I just don't know about this bunch. It's a soft bunch that hasn't stepped up in crunch time this year. So, you know, whatever you get this week will be a surprise, as it has been the last several weeks.
That's pretty much it. As far as what the Steelers can do against a good opponent on the road, I don't think a whole lot of people are really optimistic about it. We're going to break down a few more sub-matchups here. You're listening to The Standard is The Standard. I'm Neil Coulong. He's Lance Williams. We're going to give you a quick break, and we're going to be right back.
A newborn king to see, ba-rum-pa-bum-bum. Our finest gifts we bring, ba-rum-pa-bum-bum, rum-pa-bum-bum, rum-pa-bum-bum.
Welcome back to The Standard is The Standard, Steelers pregame podcast. I'm Neil Coulong, managing editor of Behind the Steel Curtain. Joining me is Lance Williams, the host. And Lance, we have a lot of talk right now going on in Steeler Nation about a guy, second round pick out of the University of Michigan, who was thought to be the next great Steelers pass rushing linebacker. In many ways, that guy was the next great Steelers pass rusher. The question is Lamar Woodley in his career track sustainable, or is Lamar Woodley an injured, broken player whose unique body structure, so to speak, just breaking down on him to the point the team can't take any more risks on him? They placed Woodley on injured reserve earlier this week. What's his future in Pittsburgh?
I think when you look at Woodley, you look at his contract, and you look at what he's being paid, and if you look at positional spending, I believe he's number six in positional spending for outside linebackers. With that being said, and I was trying to illustrate this to a few guys on Twitter, for what the Steelers are allocating in the salary cap to Lamar Woodley, which is for 2014, $13,590,000. For a non-quarterback to command that type of cap number, you have to play at above Pro Bowl level and make fast plays consistently. I mean, you have to be a game changer week in and week out to warrant that level of cap space and to produce, to get that type of contract. I don't care who you are, it's going to be very difficult if you're a non-quarterback. Given that the Steelers going into 2014 are over the cap by $7.1 million, and a lot of that space they can get back immediately by cutting Levi Brown to the tune of $6.2 million, still, there's no way in the world that they're going to bring back Lamar Woodley at that cap number. They just can't do it because they also have Ike Taylor with an 11.9 cap number, a Timmons with an 11.8, and a Troy Polamalu with a 10.8, and a Heath Miller with a 9.4. So the rubber is going to meet the road on Lamar Woodley. Now, there are several options that the Steelers can do. June 1st cut, they can give him a salary reduction. I don't think they're going to see a restructure because of the injuries. So it's going to be very interesting to see what they do with Woodley. I think if Woodley's amenable to coming back with a reduced base salary, then I think he comes back. If he doesn't want to reduce that $8 million base salary, I think they're going to waive him.
From where I sit, that the $8 million base salary is really it. He's not going to give that up. Now, keep in mind, it's not as if Woodley doesn't know that he's injured a lot. There's going to come a point where if this really is a conversation, he's thinking one of two things. One, I need to get all the money that I can get because I don't know how much longer I'm going to be able to do this. Now, that's his general attitude anyway. But if he doesn't have future, I don't want to say respect, but security, if he doesn't have that in place, which obviously he doesn't, if they're going to ask him to take less money, he's going to want that money in the most amount that he can get it. So he's got a tough decision. If they're going to offer him any type of other deal in an effort to get that $8 million reduced, he wants it on the back end. In other words, he's going to want a restructure. If he doesn't, waive me. I'll go somewhere else. We'll part as friends, and that'll be it. That really puts the leverage in Woodley's favor, just because the Steelers not only have to take on dead money on this coming salary cap in 2014, they'll have it in 2015 as well, assuming he'd be a June 1 designation, which, I don't know how else they'd do that. They're going to get hit twice with that. Plus, you have to replace them. Now, let's bring up the second point to all this. A lot of the impetus behind this comes from the desire to re-sign Jason Worlds to a long-term deal. Now, Jason Worlds, it has not been paid a whole lot, relatively speaking. The market's going to be hot for him. There's no doubt about that. Teams that aren't going to be able to finish in the money for pro-ready pass-rushing outside linebackers in the draft, they're going to be able to see that come the start of free agency. They're going to knock down World's door asking him to sign. Now, realistically, if you crunch the numbers for what he's done recently, it probably doesn't paint a real fair picture for his production over his career. But at the same time, they're paying for what he could do for them, not for what he's done for the Steelers. So, I mean, you're looking at a guy. I mean, I don't see why it's unreasonable at all. 4 years, $32 million or something like that. The Steelers can't afford to pay Worlds that and pay Woodley to not play on their team. That's a huge amount of cap money that you're putting in, along with the players that you talked about, your Polamalu's, your Ike Taylor's, your Lawrence Timmons. These guys, in one way or another, are going to have they're going to need to find a way to work around all five of these players. That pretty much is the offseason, along with an extension for Roethlisberger, which I think is pretty much a foregone conclusion anyway. That deal, though, with Ben will set the table for the other ones. And with Woodley, I don't know. I can see it happening both ways. I really could. The real trouble, though, is the fact that Woodley is a productive player. But I said the word productive, not dominant, not outstanding, not explosive. He's productive. It's nice he gets pressure on the quarterback. He doesn't really get him on the ground as much. Worlds hits the quarterback at least at a much higher level of frequency than Woodley has, at least in the last, the second half of the season. It's a tough spot to be in, Lance. I don't know. If he's not playing this quickly after, they announced him out and then they announced him on IR with two games left to play this season, that's a problem. He missed other time with another ailment, the other calf. That's a problem. I don't know how you can keep him, but I don't know how you can get rid of him either. So it will be very interesting to see what they'll do in that spot.
I mean, to look at, if you look at Jason Worlds, if you look at his contract, I mean, he had base salaries of $324.50, $540, and $630. I mean, his cap number was only over $1 million 1 year in 2011. You look at the production this year, between him and Lamar Woodley, and he's younger, and he's trending up, this might be a situation where, the Steelers will have to go ahead and eat that. And the other thing that makes it more complicated for the Steelers is with that $8 million base salary, he becomes very difficult, that is, Lamar Woodley, to trade because he doesn't have to agree with the next team to rip up the deal. And if you trade for him, you have to account for that base salary. So that base salary makes him an albatross because he's not worth $8 million base salary. I mean, he's not. His production doesn't it doesn't warrant that. So
he's not getting traded. There's no way he's going to be traded. You know, I would just throw that out. It's not going to happen. Nobody is going to trade anything for Lamar Woodley, not when it's obvious that the sword of Damocles is hanging over his head. They're going to cut him, and a team can just negotiate with him on the open market and probably get him for less. They don't want the contract. They want Woodley at a different contract. So do the Steelers, but they can't.
Right.
So.
Right. Yeah, you're absolutely right. They're going to wait for him to get waived. We'll see what happens, but I think, and if you guys haven't had a chance to check it out, make sure you check out the website Behind the Steel Curtain and check out the article on money in the Steelers and the article on Woodley. And I think you're right. I think he's getting chopped. I mean, I don't think there's any other way around it that he's going to get that knife and it's going to be a June 1st designation.
It's going to have to be in many ways. It's tough. I believe me, I can make a hobby out of spending Dan Rooney's money. In the end, he's the one signing off on the whole deal. Stay tuned. I mean, that's going to be, you know, the big talking point this off season. We're going to take another quick break here. Then we're going to wrap things up on The Standard Is the Standard. I'm Neil Coulong. He's Lance Williams. We'll be right back.
The mood is right, the spirit's up, we're here tonight, and that's enough, simply having a wonderful Christmas time, simply.
Welcome back. The Standard Is the Standard. I'm Neil Coulong. He's Lance Williams. We're talking about the upcoming Steelers at Green Bay Packers game week 16 on the NFL schedule. The Steelers have a slim to none chance of making the playoffs, and none is walking out somewhere down the street right now. Myriads of things will need to happen for the Steelers to qualify for the playoffs. We're not even really going to get into it because there's not much of a point. It's just not going to happen. What we are going to do, though, Lance, we're going to take a look at the future offensive production players for both of these teams, and it really comes down to the running backs, two guys drafted very close to each other, Le'Veon Bell for the Pittsburgh Steelers in the second round and Eddie Lacy for the Packers in the second round. These are two budding stars in the NFL, yet the two of them, I think, anyway, have very contrasting styles from each other. Bell is a much more refined pass catcher and route runner than I thought he would be at this point, and definitely better than Lacy is. Lacy is a stronger runner. I think he'd probably win in a foot race. Both of them are having a great deal of production for rookies as well as for the rest of the NFL. These are two guys that could very well challenge each other, you know, for rushing titles in the future, given the amount of faith both of their teams have in them and the ability that they've shown to adapt to the pro level game. If you had to pick one, would you want to pick one, and which would it be?
I'd pick Bell. Bell reminds me of a bigger, more physical Matt Forte-ish type back or Arian Foster type back. And I think in the current game, with his ability to catch the ball out of the backfield, you can flex him out and do different things with him formation wise. I think his skill set fits this current NFL better. And that's not to say that I think Lacy is not going to be a tremendous back. The other thing is, when I watch Lacy, I'm not impressed with him athletically. In terms of him with lateral quickness, he takes a lot of hits, and I just don't think his style warrants him playing long. I think the ability to get Bell on the perimeter, matched up against linebackers, and the site did a fantastic job of spotlighting Bell on Vontaze Burfict and just how effective Bell is in this Todd Haley offense. So, again, I would go with Le'Veon Bell.
The article that Lance is referring to was done by our own Paper Champions in our Steelers Film Room segment. He has a GIF in there, a breakdown of Le'Veon Bell basically just shaking Burfict out of his jock. I mean, it isn't going to seem that bad when you're watching it, but just you watch him set him up. Burfict gets flat-footed to the point he's even back on his heels. I mean, Bell could just toy with him at that point. And a lot of that is leverage. It's balance. And Bell has all of that as a young player, which is exceptional. And I'll be the first person to admit, I did not think he was all that great of a pass catcher coming out of college. What he's showing now, he could very well be a 65-70 catch a season guy for a while. I mean, he can work on his hands a little bit, but he's getting open. You know, these aren't just, you know, you're wide open, here's the ball. He's running routes. He's competing against linebackers, and he's winning the vast majority of them. In that regard, I agree completely. I think he is more dynamic than Lacy is right now. Lacy, I think Lacy's going to give the Steelers fits. He had a big game. He's an explosive kind of guy. I think he'll end up with more big plays than Bell will this year. But you've got some years left between those two, if it's even really a rivalry. I mean, we talked about the same thing the week before against Giovanni Bernard, and to be honest with you, I think he's better than both. So that's just me. Very interesting, though. You talk about the rise of the quarterback in the NFL today. I think you might, you know, be looking back at the 2013 draft, the second-round running backs that were taken. There are a lot of good ones in there. I think Monty Ball has done a pretty decent job in Denver for what they've asked him to do. I think Christian Michael is going to be a good player when he gets his shot in Seattle. So overall, you got five guys I think that are going to be, you know, up there in the leaderboard for, you know, rushing and total yardage for years to come. As it is, though, Lance, what's important is Week 16, Steelers at the Packers. Let's dig into some predictions. I got to be honest. If Rodgers is playing, Rodgers is rested, Rodgers is healthy, the Packers need to win this game to advance. It's their house. Rodgers has just absolutely decimated opponents in that place. That's a concern. If Rodgers is playing, I don't see the Steelers winning this game. I don't think it'll be competitive by and large. I like to think the Steelers' defense is able to make some plays. I think Rodgers perhaps could be a little bit rusty. The offense might not be in rhythm. Maybe the Steelers would have a chance, but I think that's wishful thinking more than anything else. I would pick the Packers to win. I'm going to say like 31-17, somewhere along those lines. And again, we're recording this Thursday. It has not been confirmed that Aaron Rodgers is playing on Sunday. We are assuming that he will, though. We think the Packers are just kind of playing cat and mouse. Keeping it close to the vest, and they'll announce on Friday that he will play.
If he plays, I agree. They'll win the game. I think like 35-21, I don't think it'd be really competitive. If he doesn't play, I think Green Bay will still win the game. I think when you look at their threats at the receiver position combined with Eddie Lacy, I think that's a tough matchup for this defense that has been woefully inconsistent this year. I like Green Bay to win regardless of whoever starts at the quarterback position. But Neil, let me ask you a question before we go. One of the controversial or major topics in Steeler Nation this year is Todd Haley. Does Todd Haley come back for 2014?
Yeah, I think he does. I never thought he was going anywhere. And yes, that's easy to say now that they've put up production, but I can't say that I've been impressed with Haley every step of the way. But in reality, he did not have consistent personnel over any stretch of time, except for two periods over the last two seasons. Weeks 7 through 10, up until the first half of week 10, at least, last year, they won four straight games. They lost Roethlisberger early in the third quarter in week 10. Season fell apart. this season, it was the stretch they had from weeks, what was it, 10 to 12. They had the same offensive line, the same players coming back, and they were able to play within what they were trying to do. And in both instances, last year was about the run. This year is probably more about the shorter pass, the no huddle packages. He put all of that together, and that's when they had their success. I get there are issues surrounding Haley. I get that he has earned his fair share of criticism, but the reality is Steelers all of a sudden are, you know, they're two good games away from finishing the top 10 in scoring and yards offensively. That's how well they've been performing over the last couple of weeks. Antonio Brown is going to break at least one franchise receiving record this year. He's going to pass Yancey Big Ben. If not this weekend, then the next weekend. He needs, 91 yards to break the single season yardage record. Roethlisberger has barely been sneezed on over the last like six games now. And that includes a rebirth of Mike Adams at left tackle, in for Kelvin Beachum at left tackle. He's had an injured David DeCastro. He's working on his third center of the season. And the guy who's going to lose the game for the Steelers this weekend, poor Cody Wallace, just can't keep up. And they're still be able to produce to some extent. Now, the injuries will never go away. That's just the reality of it. But I think, I don't have any issues with them right now. I think the offense is moving well.
Let me add to your compelling point by saying the biggest thing out of all of this is, yes, you're getting production. But Ben Roethlisberger, you know, cross your fingers, cross your toes, is going to play 16 games this year. And you couple that with the production that you're getting from Bell, that the offense has produced and has basically made Antonio Brown into a Pro Bowl player, a guy with 95 catches that may have about 110 catches and 8 touchdowns. So it's created a very productive Le'Veon Bell, who, by the way, has 43 catches, a very productive Antonio Brown. And the offense has still been able to be effective with the revolving door of offensive line groups. And the biggest thing is Ben Roethlisberger is healthy and having probably his most efficient and best year of his career. So I think when you couple everything that you said with what I'm saying, he has to come back in 2014.
If he doesn't come back, you're shaking up this offense yet again when it already deals with shakeup on a week-to-week basis. I get that people hate Todd Haley. That's fine. I really don't care. You know, you don't know what you're looking at if you have a real problem with the job that he's done. And I was completely against the hiring of Todd Haley in the first place. I thought he did fairly well last year, all things considered. He's taken a step forward. I think things have gotten, you know, they've bought into it. They've made it their own now. You see a different brand of football being played. Last year was about the power run. They're not running anything anymore. They barely even run the ball. They're throwing short. That's their running game. He's still possessing the ball. They're turning the ball over less often, and this can't be stated enough. As you said perfectly, Roethlisberger is healthy in December. I wrote 4 or 5 stories last year just sick to my stomach with how bad Roethlisberger's performances were in the last two Decembers. He looked horrible at Denver. I don't want to hear about Tim Tebow from anybody. That was like the sixth most compelling aspect of that game to anybody who watches football. He looked terrible in December last year, coming off of a significant injury. He looks healthy, perfectly fine now, as strong as he's ever looked in December. Knock on wood, cross fingers, toes, eyebrows, whatever. If you're going to shred him for the offensive woes that they faced early in the season, which they were, then you have to give him credit now. That's it here for The Standard is the Standard. I'm Neil Coulong, the managing editor of Behind the Steel Curtain. He's Lance Williams, the host of Steel Curtain Radio. Hopefully, we can see a Steelers win this weekend. And Lance, I'll tell you what, if I thaw out and survive from Lambeau Sunday, driving all the way back here and getting up for work to be there by 6:30 Monday morning, we're going to do the show again next week.
Sound a little crazy there.
It is. Absolutely. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you later.
Make my wish come true. All I want for Christmas.